Welcome back to the Matt Ness Show. I'm Matt, and he's Ez. And today, we're going to be talking about Spider-Man No Way Home. And Ez, the burning question, who is actually the best Spider-Man?
Yeah, and how the heck did he get back home? I mean, geezy, cow, there's mystic, magic, craziness. The best Spider-Man, which one is it? I have the answer. You think you have the answer. And we'll have to talk about it. There's only two of us, and there are, spoiler alert, three Spider-Men that we will be considering, possibly a fourth. I'll throw
possibly
in there.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly more. So Spider-Man No Way Home. I think, you know, in order to really talk about this movie, as we have to go back, okay, and talk about a lot of things, really. Superhero movies in general,
right?
I would say the rise of, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the licensing that goes on with Spider-Man, and then this movie itself and what it did and what it potentially will do going forward, which is open the door to just about anything ever, to say the least. So let's go back in time. Ez and I are superhero movie aficionados and buffs. Okay. Yep. DC and Marvel.
We're connoisseurs.
While we may typically be more sort of DC fanboys. I can still say, you know, my favorite superhero movie of last year was still Zack Snyder's Justice League, but that doesn't mean I did not love this. And this was definitely my second favorite. I thought it was better than Eternals. I thought it was better than, I don't know, did Shang-Chi come out last year? I think it did. And the Ten Rings.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it.
Well, in the fall.
And then Black Widow came out, and I thought, honestly, it wasn't very great. Suicide Squad was pretty good, too. The Suicide Squad was pretty good, but I would still put Spider-Man above it. So, anywho, you go back in time a little bit, and we go to... You know, you get to the 70s, Ez, and you got the Superman movies, Batman's on TV, Wonder Woman's on TV. It's not really until the 80s, right? 1989, Batman, the first Batman movie with Michael Keaton comes out. That really was sort of what I view as the like big first step in where we're at now with superhero movies. Like the Superman movies sort of put it on the map and said, hey, you can make money doing this. But like the first Batman movie was really the one that said, hey, this is like the framework. Then we got the other Batman movies. There were attempts at sort of superhero movies. There was like some TV adaptations. A lot of them flamed out, and a lot of them did flame out really until like the MCU, and then DC was the Dark Knight stuff. But you got to look at Blade. The Blade movies with Marvel was where things really is like, okay, this was their entry into it, where it was sort of starting to work. So in the 90s, as Marvel was not owned by Disney, and Marvel sold the rights to a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
They sold Daredevil, Deadpool and the X-Men and the Fantastic Four to Fox, not the intellectual character, but the right to portray them in television and movies.
Right.
And then Sony got the rights to Spider-Man, which they still own. Disney has since purchased not only Marvel, which they can still use Marvel in like video games and comics and merch and all that stuff, but Marvel can't just go make a Spider-Man movie. They can now do X-Men and stuff like that since they bought them. I mean, heck, we've had two reboots of the Fantastic Four, and both of them sucked. Okay.
Oh my god.
So, you know, the early 2000s was such sort of this, like, it was like the launch, like you could see the first, like, we get the Batman movies, but now you can see we're taking that next step, right? We're getting Lord of the Rings. we're getting the X-Men movies, we're getting, you know, some of these other things coming out, and we got the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, and my God, was it utterly amazing, pun intended.
Yeah, no, buddy, let's go back, okay? My high school girlfriend at the time, shout out to her, unnamed, bought me the soundtrack. I took her to this movie. Why? Because that's what you did. All right. That's what you did. You wanted to score some points. You wanted to take your girlfriend to a good movie during that time. You took her to Spider-Man. And I did that. Afterwards, she didn't even know she loved it. And she loved it, man. It was like a hit. It was fantastic. It does set the stage for all these. Really, everyone should be saying, thank you, Tobey Maguire. Okay. Thank you, Spider-Man, because that stuff was like, I don't know, it felt like a really, like a big spark, you know, it just kind of lit the fire. I mean, there were other right. things as well, too, but it was around that time when, like, as you said, all this was just sorting, it was starting to heat up, right? And I loved it. The soundtrack was amazing for that, by the way. Go look up the soundtrack for Spider-Man. It was freaking amazing, the original.
Yeah, so the first Spider-Man movie is, like, still to this day, one of my top 10 favorite superhero movies ever, because it's just so utterly fantastic. You know, Tobey Maguire comes in and we've got Kirsten Dunst, right? You've got William Dafoe as this great villain. You've got, oh my God, how am I, I'm blanking on his son's name who plays Harry. God, he's in so much stuff. How am I blanking?
Oh my, Franco.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yeah.
Not, yeah, I know you're like, yeah, James Franco.
James Franco, thank you.
Right. Yeah, James Franco. Macho Man Randy Savage is in the movie as Bonesaw, right?
Yeah.
We got that Stan Lee cameo. It's directed by Sam Raimi, who, you know, did the Evil Dead movie. So Bruce Campbell is his buddy. Bruce Campbell makes a cameo in all three, as well as Sam Raimi did like Xena Warrior Princess and Hercules. And all three of these movies just explode. But the first one, I know a lot of people prefer the second one, but to me, the first one is the best of the three. I think it's just that first time seeing him as Spider-Man. You get, like, his suit is utterly, again, I'll use the word amazing. I still think it's probably the best looking Spider-Man suit with, like, the gray webbing. It's just utterly fantastic. I won MTV's Best Kiss Award. Right, where he's hanging upside down, pulls off the mask just a little bit.
Oh my God.
And you get the kiss. William Dafoe is Green Goblin. So many memes have come from this, and it's just so utterly, utterly fantastic. And really, it sets up a trilogy that I know the final one's kind of a step back a little bit, but I mean, to view it as you could take the original Spider-Man trilogy and stack it up against most other trilogies that have ever existed. I mean, it's not Star Wars or Lord of the Rings level, but I mean, if you want to compare it to, if you want to compare it to like Back to the Future or Terminator or some of these other, you know, you view it as a trilogy of movies,
Matt,
I think it stacks up very well to a lot of other movie trilogy. The first three X-Men movies are not as good as the first three Spider-Man movies.
Now I'm not saying this is better than the Dark Knight trilogy, obviously, but right. Is it comparable? Like, could you say like movie number one is better than like number three or something? Know. Like, I love number one so much. Like Spider-Man 2002. I think you could put that up there. What was the last Dark Knight movie? What was
Dark Knight Rises.
Rises. Yeah, I think it's better than that. But anyways, I mean, we're obviously right. DC fanboys. Love the Dark Knight trilogy, but like it's one of those things that like I actually am willing to even like start to try to compare it, which means it's pretty freaking good if I even want to even think about bringing it that close. But like you said,
say that it's better than it's hard, it's sometimes hard to compare DC to Marvel just straight up because they're drastically different tones, right? Whereas Marvel is I don't want to say campy, but it's more lighthearted, you stuff like that. I mean, they're not like DC movies, especially, have just gotten darker and darker and darker. Like, I can't compare, like, say, the Joker movie to like any Marvel cinematic, any Marvel movie, because it's just no Marvel like movie comes close to that level of tone and realism and seriousness. But I think if you could just comparing it to movies, even inside of the MCU, is the original Spider-Man trilogy better than Iron Man 1, 2, and 3? Probably. Iron Man 1 is amazing.
Right.
But a lot of
people don't like 3, and I love 3, but you know, it's like one of those
things. I love 3, but I think Iron Man 2 is one of the worst MCU movies. I have it towards my absolute my bottom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
yeah, I think you could.
I don't think it's as good. I don't think Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 as a trilogy stacks compares to the original Spider-Man trilogy.
You think it's better?
I think Spider-Man's way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, for the simple reason that like what we saw in Spider-Man No Way Home is the like what Aunt May does in this one episode is right. Like what Tobey Maguire experienced, like Uncle Ben, the line. I mean, why is this movie blowing up, Matt? Why is this movie grossing so much money? Because it's mimicking some of the great things that happened in Tobey Maguire's series
and the
Amazing Spider-Man. Like, it's mimicking some of that, and it's blending it so well. It's using the same lines. It's a great story, and it's
So continuing on, Spider-Man 1, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. We get Aunt May, we get Uncle Ben. And I think that the second movie is just, again, to use the word in its pun intended form, amazing. We get Doc, what's his name? Alfred Molina, I think is his name, right? However you say it.
Yeah.
As the Doc Ock villain. And because that's really like the first superhero movie that I can think of at that point in time where your villain is really kind of an anti-hero. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're actually, he's like, you're rooting for him, but he's not like a true sort of villain. And that's why most people say it's the best. Most people have that as the best of the three. The train scene.
Yeah.
Is so great. And then he gets his mask pulled off and they realize who he is.
Right. Right. That was great. Oh my God.
Like, it's so good.
And then flashbacks. Okay,
I know. Okay, so then we can talk a little bit about the third one, and it gets a little too much. Here's the thing. I love that one. I'm not saying it's good.
No.
But first of all, it's because we get Venom. We get Venom, and we get the symbiote suit, which I love. That's my favorite, obviously. I think most people's favorite Spider-Man is when he's got the symbiote suit, the Venom, right, suit. I think Bryce Dallas Howard, actually, as Gwen Stacy, I thought the love triangle there was kind of cool. You know, obviously, it's kind of ridiculous when he's, like, walking down the street, and, you know, and he's dancing and, like, snapping his fingers. And it's spurned all of the sort of Bully Maguire memes, which are just utterly fantastic and hilarious.
Yeah.
But so then it ends, and there was supposed to be a fourth one, and there was written out the whole deal. It never ended up happening, which is unfortunate. But Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 1 through 3. Yeah, there was like, Spider-Man 4 was like going to be a big mega movie, and it just didn't end up happening. So a few years go by and a few things change. Marvel, before they're bought out by Disney, starts an idea that will be the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? So people forget this, but actually, I think if you go back and watch it, the first two movies, I believe, were not Disney movies. I think Iron Man and the Hulk, I think, were actually done by Paramount. They weren't Disney, because Disney didn't own it yet. But then, of course, that changes, and then Disney buys it. But they start this idea of, hey, we're going to build this Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, let's go.
And while that's going on, and don't get me wrong, it's great. Obviously, the characters of the X-Men in the Fantastic Four aren't going to be there because they can't use them. And then the big one was Spider-Man. Can't use him. Okay. So now we're getting a little into it. And Sony, who owns Spider-Man, says we're going to make new Spider-Man movies. Kind of deal with it.
Exactly.
They kind of deal with it. You can't, nothing to say about it. So we get the Andrew Garfield movies, the amazing Spider-Man. We get a new Origins.
He needed to hear that. It was amazing.
He needed to hear that. Andrew Garfield comes in. Andrew Garfield to me is an absolutely just utter. He's such a good actor. If you get a chance, really, you should check him out in other things like Hacksaw Ridge, this ultra serious movie. He's in it and it's just so good. So he's in it. And then you bring in Emma Stone as your Gwen Stacy, right? They're going to change it around. It's not Mary Jane yet. It's Gwen Stacy. And then you've got his two movies, both of which I love. I will say that he has the worst villains, which is unfortunate. His villain. And I think because these movies don't do well as.
No, I know. Why? Why is that, dude?
Because of the villains, I think.
Yeah, probably.
But what was your when those movies came out, what was your thoughts of like this, a different presentation of Spider-Man now that you've had the chance to see?
Yeah, you mean the Andrew Garfield stuff?
Right.
Yeah. So here's the thing was, I was a huge Tobey Maguire fanboy. I'm not going to lie about it. I was locked in, man. That was my guy. I was like awkward. I think I went and saw that. Like I mentioned, my high school girlfriend like went with me, but like, what I didn't mention was I went first by myself. You know what I mean? I also followed up in the theater after she didn't want to go see it again by myself. So like when it comes to that movie, I was a little bit, I understand why people, when you see people reimagine stuff or new things come out, I was sort of like, where's Toby? You know, I wasn't locked in. I went in with an open mind as much as I could. But like you said, it was maybe the villains a little bit. The Gwen Stacy stuff, Emma Stone.
Amazing Spider-Man came out in 2012, and Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out
in 2014. In all fairness though, like when Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man comes out, like I'm more of a youngster, you know, I'm right. Locked in. It's more whatever. When this other one came out, I was like busy, didn't look into it as much, didn't do all that. It was a point in time in my life where I was transitioning from college to real job. So I feel like I didn't give it a fair shake because I love Emma Stone. And I thought it was
right.
I did love it. I still loved it. And I actually, what this new movie has done has made me think like I need to go rewatch those. Like I need to give those another shake. And actually it was kind of a joke in this movie, which was like, you know, he was saying like, yeah, I kind of need to hear that I'm amazing because he is good. It's really good.
Right. So for me, the reason I love those movies is they, again, as a DC fanboy, they are a little darker. They're a little more gritty. And then I think he has where he shines is he has the best Aunt May and Uncle Ben. And I don't even think it's remotely close because he has Sally Fields as Aunt May and he has Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben. And I mean, sorry, but you have Academy Award winning actors for him to go along with, and I think it was super cool. They go back to Spider-Man having web shooters as opposed to Tobey Maguire's, which is just the sort of organic web.
Sorry, that's like they brought that up and I was like Trump City right there. That was literally the fact that he has that, like, dude, how do you do that? That was hilarious. How is it like it's just in your skin? And they're all like, ooh, whoa, gross. It's like, nah, that's original Spider-Man right there, baby.
Right.
So
the Andrew Garfield movies do their thing. 2014. Now we're staring down bringing Spider-Man in to Marvel's Civil War, and we are replacing Spider-Man once again. Tom Holland, he comes in, first shows up in Civil War, which was cool getting to see Spider-Man and getting to see Spider-Man interact with Iron Man and Captain America and the rest of the group. And then things start to get a little weird because Sony starts to say, well, you know, right. Here we go. And we thought we were going to lose him.
What happened, then, by the way? Like, that's crazy. Cause
they ended up signing a deal. They ended up signing a deal.
Cause I heard like he came out and was like, hey, look, sorry, you got to get this together. We got to grow up.
He kind of did. Tom Holland kind of did.
Good for him.
But then Sony's like, well, we're going to keep rolling with Venom and we're going to make a Carnage movie. So they're making side character movies and there's nothing really Disney can say about it. So then we get Spider-Man Homecoming with Michael Keaton as the Vulture. Shift forward, we get Jake Gyllenhaal at after the Avengers movies with Tom Holland Spider-Man in Spider-Man. Which one's that called? Far From Home. Yeah. And then now we are here, Spider-Man No Way Home. So I have to say, I do like Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yeah, oh, he's great.
He's great. But I think he is great because he has the opportunity to play off the Avengers as like Tony Stark and all this stuff. He's also more feels more younger. It's also kind of his height. He's a shorter guy. So it may, even though he's like 30 or something, I don't know how old he is, but he feels young. He feels like really young as Spider-Man. So I went into Spider-Man No Way Home really as just thinking, I'm just most excited to kind of see what's going on, you know, where, give me Toby, give me Andrew.
Yeah.
And of course, Doctor Strange is in this movie. And so I, you know, the other thing is like to see this movie, you kind of, I feel like to get the best out of this movie,
yeah,
you really have to have seen the original. You have to see the three original Spider-Mans.
Yep.
The two amazing Spider-Man movies. And then everything that Spider-Man is in and Doctor Strange. And like you really have to have seen the whole thing. And we're talking like 40 movies at this point to kind of get to it. So what's crazy, I don't know that I could recommend this movie to somebody who hasn't seen like all of it.
Right. But what is kind of crazy is that it did bring out, for some reason, anybody who was like maybe out on Marvel or who was a Tobey Maguire fan or Andrew Garfield, like it's brought people to the theater. It's done its job, which is do they understand it? Do they get all the little references and stuff? Like, you know, it's causing some people to go back and say, oh, I got to watch that, because there's generations, right? I mean, like you mentioned, 2002 is Tobey Maguire, and then like, what was it, 2010 or 12 or whatever?
12. So 10 years after is
what
the reboot.
What the fudge, dude? How old is Tobey Maguire, dude? Like, what the heck? How old are we? Oh, my God.
I know. It's insane.
That's crazy. But, like, yeah.
The original Spider-Man was 20 years ago.
What the fudge, dude? Jesus Christ. That was my freshman high school girlfriend I was talking about earlier. Jeezy cow.
Crazy.
That is crazy. But I feel like, too, though, because there was stuff, as you said, let's pull up the guy's name, his buddy, here it is, Ned, who's in this. Right. He does some really cool stuff with Doctor Strange. And you're like, okay, unless you understand the whole opening portal stuff, right, you know what I mean? You don't really get the humor in that he has magical blood. So you do have to watch Doctor Strange, as you said, or understand that the spell that Doctor Strange did, you have to understand how that works. Also, I'll go ahead and throw another one in here to really get the full context of this and understand what Marvel's doing. It's Loki. Loki opens up the multiverse situation stuff.
Well, not kinda. Opens it up. There are more theories that go into it.
Yeah.
That Wanda and actually, right, it's at the multiverse is first mentioned in Spider-Man Far From Home, which is the first movie to take place after Avengers Endgame.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the post credit scene. He talks to Nick Fury.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Well, still, I think as you're saying though, like you need to kind of, could you recommend this just to anybody? You still can get some general enjoyment in it,
right?
And you might not know who those other Spider-Men are and be like, what the heck? This is multiverse stuff. I kind of
right.
You can still kind of, I think of people like my sister who would be like, huh, who, they, what?
I feel like a lot of people could be lost, but
yeah,
get with that said, I mean, I feel like you could watch it. You need to be more caught up obviously on Tom Holland's Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff than you do Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield's stuff to watch it. I feel like if you more so have to be connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe than you do the old movies.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it starts off, it's more proximity, which is closer. It is Tom Holland's Spider-Man story. So anyway, the movie gets going and Tom Holland, Peter Parker was revealed to everyone to be Spider-Man at the end of the last movie, Spider-Man Far From Home. Mysterio reveals to the world that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. He now has to deal with that. Mm-hmm. He has to deal with the reality of that, which I actually think, by the way, is kind of, and this is never stated, but I think it's a super interesting dynamic because so much of Tom Holland's Spider-Man is his relationship with Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Right.
Because he views him as this father figure. And then when he dies in Endgame, it's like such a big deal. It actually creates one of the best scenes in Spider-Man Far From Home when Mysterio is tricking everyone to think, and Spider-Man can't figure out who everyone is, and he sees Jon Favreau, who plays Happy Hogan, mm-hmm. Robert Downey, Iron Man's assistant.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how he misses him, how they misses Iron Man. Well, so the interesting kind of dynamic is that the best part of the first Marvel cinematic movie, which is Iron Man, which kicks the whole thing off, setting up Thanos.
Right.
And now we're in this new phase, which is the multiverse. Like, this is the mega phase two of the Avengers and the Cena universe. I mean, it's like, okay, Endgame ends it. And now we're in, like, if you want to use that, I know they have like phase one, two, three, four, what they called it. But I mean, that's like book one. Like, that book is over.
Yeah.
We're now in the big new total arc two of the whole thing. The interesting thing is that here's Peter and the world has been told he's Spider-Man, and he's taking it very differently than the way the coolest moment in chapter one of the Thanos saga is the very end of the movie when Tony Stark goes out and he says, oh yeah, to the world, I am Iron Man. And it sets up the whole deal. It's this awesome dynamic between the two movies.
Right. And that's really interesting. So now it's different. Like at the end of this, sorry to jump right to the end, but he's there with MJ and he's not going to tell her. Right. Which, cause she's happy and all this stuff. And I mean, dude, it's got me like, I'm locked in for more episodes of it. Cause I'm like, hold on a second. She'll figure it out, but she's happy now. They're going to college, all this stuff. So, yeah, it's a kind of opposite of what Iron Man does, right? And he had a problem being younger and being identified as Spider-Man. So,
right. He doesn't have the resources that Tony Stark has, which is, I think, is a totally
right. And Tony has the fame. He has all that kind of stuff. He is a grown man and all that stuff. He's got Stark Industries behind him, like you said. Yeah. So, it's tough for this high schooler trying to make it into college. Can't even get into college because he's Spider-Man,
Right.
And he killed Mysterio.
Even though he saved the world, which is something actually they're doing.
He killed Mysterio.
He saved the world. But it is something interesting that they're doing in the MCU, which is, because again, remember, the other thing that's crazy is that there is a 5-year time jump in between Avengers and where we're at now, and half the universe is wiped away. And I do like that they're still keeping that sort of explained and going. Because in Falcon Winter Soldier, remember Falcon's going to try, he's trying to get a loan for his boat. And the guy's like, well, sorry, man, your credit's bad. And he's like, he tells him, he's like, I was an Avenger. I saved the universe. He's like, I know, that's cool. Can I get an autograph? But I still can't give you a loan. Like, and it's just, it's this thing. And so that is sort of something that they are still kind of dealing with, which is interesting. So, as you said, he's trying to get into college. He can't get in because he's Spider-Man and the world thinks he's a murderer. They think he murdered Mysterio, as well as just other controversies. Some people like him, some people don't. While this is going on, he's done the spell with Doctor Strange where people are going to or he's going to do this spell where people forget he's Spider-Man. The whole thing jacks up and it rips open the multiverse. And next thing we know is, well, actually, I guess just stop real quick. He also like locks Doctor Strange in this dimension. And
yeah, the mirror world, right?
Right. Yeah. Really, this movie is actually more of a Doctor Strange Spider-Man movie than it is a Spider-Man other Spider-Man movies. Because I felt like even to get the other Spider-Man to come in, that's like last like 30 minutes. It's not really so much. Well, I guess I don't know. It's not like the whole movie is the three Spider-Man. Anywho, Dr. Octopus shows up. The Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2. He fights Tom Holland's Peter Parker. He takes off his mask. You're not the Peter I thought you were.
Yeah.
And then they go lock him in Doctor Strange's dungeon. And they got to start taking down a lot of these other villains. And they are villains from the other Spider-Man movies. And they all come through because of the spell gone awry.
Dude, wait. Hey, hold on. When you first saw Doc Ock, what? I mean, because I think there was rumors and stuff. But like.
Okay. Well, he was in trailers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, he was in the original trailer.
Besides Doc Ock then, I guess like. How far did you think it was going to go? Did you think we're going to see all the other villains? Did you
all
think
we're going to
get all of them? Like
they were all rumored. The only one we didn't get was Topher Grace as Venom. That's the only villain we didn't get. Paul Giamatti's Rhino. We got all of the other villains because we got Doc Ock, we got William Dafoe's Green Goblin, we got Sandman. I always forget the guy's name who plays him, but he's like Tombstone. Yeah. He's in Wings. He's in a lot of stuff. Jamie Foxx as Electro from Amazing Spider-Man. Again, I always forget the other guy's name, the actor, but he played Lizard, Kurt Connors.
Yeah.
So we got almost all. We didn't get Green Goblin from... Amazing. We didn't get his Harry Osborn from either movies, nor did we get. I think that's it. That's it. We got all the other villains.
Yeah, I think the one like William Dafoe was the one I wasn't like
the big one
when I was going into it. I was like, are we going to get Green Goblin? That one seemed like it was kept more secret because I avoided those spoilers and I went into it saying, and I think we heard his laugh or something. Maybe it was what people heard in the trailer, and I just was kind of like, okay, I don't really know. I don't want to know. And I went and I was like, holy French toast. I just couldn't believe it. I wanted to be kind of surprised. And then I kind of knew maybe that we'd see the other Spider-Man, but I just going back to that original when I first, because I watched it like a week later and it was really hard to avoid some of those spoilers. And I saw another guy in a Spider-Man costume and I was like, scroll,
right,
just right on past right. him. I was like, fudge, they're doing it. I was like, I got to get to the theater ASAP, you know? So that was what was so cool is that like even people who were avoiding the spoilers and kind of knew were like, I got to get in there and see this because this is something special, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. So I'll speed along sort of the synopsis here. And then basically they sort of capture them all and he wants to try to help them.
Yeah,
because they start to realize that they actually all died. And so MCU Spider-Man Tom Holland doesn't want necessarily to send them all back because he's afraid, well, if I send them back, they'll just die. Would I be killing them? What if we helped them, right? What if we fixed them? And so he takes them back because he's staying with Happy, John Favreau, and he starts working on them because he has a Stark thing because the tech here, right, is way more advanced than the tech from their universes. He does fix Doc Ock. And he makes sort of a serum to fix Green Goblin. He's working on some of the other guys, but Green Goblin goes kind of crazy. And then that causes Electro, who's on the fence already, to be like, I'm out. Get me out of here. Lizard's doing his thing. He kind of forget about him, honestly, because he's just like hanging out in the truck. And here we go. Next thing you know, Spider-Man's fighting Green Goblin. Green Goblin throws a bomb and kills Aunt May.
God, son of a... That's a tragedy. It's a daggone tragedy. I was so... That's the thing. So all those spoilers were flying around like, okay, what villains are in it? Everyone's all focused on who's going to be in this thing. It's Aunt May, bro, that like hits you. I mean, it was a full stop. I didn't see it coming. That was something I had no idea was going to happen. I was like, okay, whatever. Like Aunt May's in there doing her thing. She's trying to get Peter to see all this good stuff. And she is dead.
Dies.
I wept. I was like, no, they did not. And I kept saying, I was like in denial. It was kind of like when I saw Luke Skywalker coming in to the end of Mandalorian season two. I was like, nah, it's not him. Ain't no way. There's no way they're doing it. And then they did it to Aunt May. And I'm like, stop. You did not.
They all lose somebody. Because we don't actually ever see this Peter lose his Uncle Ben. Although he does lose Tony Stark, that's kind of like his Uncle Ben, I suppose. So then we're going forward. He's out there. He's off by himself trying to fix things. They're destroying the city. Ned and MJ go back and they're trying to figure out, what do we do? How do we solve this thing? Ned has stolen the ring from Doctor Strange. He's opening portals and he's trying to bring Peter, you know, to him. Hey, let's just find Peter Parker, and through the portal. And this is where I feel like the movie really starts. Walks in Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, and people in the theater lost their minds.
I lost my mind. I lost my mind. I was like, wow. And because I wasn't sure when it was going to happen. And, what's his name again? Ned, right? Is having this moment. Dude. Yeah. And that was cool enough. That's cool enough that he was like, gosh, I wish. So when he first does it, Matt, he's like, I wish Peter were here.
Right.
And he just waves his hand. I wish Peter were here. And you see it on the distance. You're like, that's like sparks are flying. You're like, wait, what? And Zendaya or MJ is like, do it again. And then he full on goes like full nerd, king of nerds. And just like, boom, opening portal, which is so cool. Like magic. It's so funny how they do that. Like he's this, you know, nerdy looking dude, and he has the ability to open this portal. It's freaking great. And he walks in, and yeah. And I love that MJ's like, it was so comical, right? She's like, walk across the ceiling.
Yeah. And she's like asking him to do stuff, right?
Yeah. If you're really Spider-Man, do it. And he's like, why are you kidding me? Like, yeah, no, come on. And then what's his name? The grandma or whatever, like, asked,
right,
you know, get that cobweb out. I mean, that's hilarious, dude. Like, they did a great job on the comedy, on the delivery of that. That was really
good. It's great. And it's so interesting, too, to see, because this is something I don't think that has really been done before, where you have the, like, two of the same actors who have played the same character appear on screen at the same time, at least in a movie. It's definitely happened in some other like TV adaptations and stuff like that. But, you know, like Superman fights Superman in Superman 3, but it's like just at the end, it's not really like you have, and it's also not like you have like two different actors who were both established. We're going to get this in the upcoming Flash movie with Michael Keaton's Batman and Ben Affleck's Batman. And that's going to be super cool. But here we go with Andrew Garfield walking in, boom, and he's Spider-Man, and he's his Spider-Man, which is great. And he's his Spider-Man interacting with them. He is a little more, it's one of the things I like about Andrew Garfield Spider-Man the most, which is, and I think because Tobey Maguire walks in next, and now we've got all three, and he and Toby both do such a great job at being the Spider-Man that they are.
Yes. Yes.
As well as being the Spider-Man that they have become a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it works so well with the dynamic where you almost have this age difference.
That's
where Tom Holland's is the youngest, Andrew Garfield's is in the middle, and Toby's is the eldest, which is also sort of how it works in their actual ages.
Their time
as Spider-Man. Where, you know, like Andrew Garfield, like go watch the first Andrew Garfield's. I mean, he's like jabbing with the guys like left and right. I mean, when he in Amazing Spider-Man 2, when he the opening scene where he's like stopping this like truck that's like stealing money or something. And he's like talking to the guys and he's like trying to miss his, he's like trying to get to his graduation. And he's like on the phone with Gwen while he's attacking guys. And he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? How are you going? You know, he's kind of, he's definitely got the New Yorker like fast talking. Oh, you know, how's it going, buddy? Like, oh, you missed me. I'm over here. Like that's a lot of that fast paced comedy. That's what he does so well. And then the difference between them, even Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was never super like that as Spider-Man in his movies. And then like Tom Holland's Spider-Man is funny because he's like always making mistakes and messing up. And he's like, sorry guys, it's okay. You know, like,
right.
He's like with the Avengers. Like when he first shows up in Civil War and he like steals Captain America's shield. He's like, I'm really sorry, man. Mr. Stark asked me to, you know, like, he's like fighting Captain America. It's hilarious, it shows that they do all three play the character very differently. Yeah. And you get that from them. And you also get them where they're at currently, which is Andrew Garfield's in the end, which is why Amazing Spider-Man 2 is actually, I think, my favorite Spider-Man. It might be my favorite Spider-Man of any of them movie, is because the end scene where Gwen Stacy dies is just so tragic and good, because deaths that superheroes have to deal with is always so good because it moves their characters forward. Yeah. The fact that he couldn't save her is just so freaking fantastic. And I've always loved that movie ever since I saw that.
Right.
And you can see that in him just a little bit throughout the whole movie, even in like the opening scene. I feel like you get a little bit of that, you know, from him.
Yeah, no, and you actually bring up a really good point. So not only do, I'm just going to back up a little bit here. So not only do Andrew and Toby play their Spider-Man, but they also in their acting convey that they are further along than where we last saw them in film. Right. Which I was like, wow, because you feel like there is some age and some wisdom coming to our current Spider-Man. And it was awesome. And the one thing, too, as much as they are different, they all had that common line, which is like, this is what we do. It's what Spider-Man does. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it was just so freaking cool that they had not only their differences personality wise, all those different things, different stories, different sequence of events and how they lose Gwen or how they save MJ or whatever it is. But they also had the whole like, this is like with great power comes great responsibility. And when Aunt May, I'm like, oh my God, dude, I was just like, I remember turning in the theater to my girlfriend at the time and saying like, this is like on another level. That's from the previous movie or that's from this movie. I was just like that. They're using lines directly from the other movies, like quotes. They were quoting them, Matt. Quoting.
Right. Oh, they pull out memes. They pull out jokes. It's fantastic. So Andrew Garfield is there. He sort of sets himself up. They do the thing again. And then Tobey Maguire walks in and we get the stare off kind of between Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. And that was definitely sort of super cool. They both like flip up and shoot web at each other, you know, like the whole deal. We get the conversation back and forth with them and they're sort of talking. Tobey Maguire's talking about like, well, I don't really go revealing my identity. You know, stuff like that. I don't feel like I felt like it actually, he took the longest, I felt like, to sort of not like get into character, like he's in character when he shows up, but it was just like, especially because he's not wearing his Spider-Man suit, right? He's just wearing like normal clothes and he's like, well, I still got my suit. Don't worry. Right. But it felt like it sort of took him, he actually ends up sort of serving as like the dad role in the movie, you know, he's like, okay, you know, asking
more patient,
patient,
yeah,
stuff like that. So he didn't, to me, immediately feel like the same Spider-Man.
Yeah,
like we saw back.
He's further away from
then, him. He is
way further removed.
Yeah, he is further away. So then we end up finding Tom Holland Spider-Man, and this is where the whole thing gets like really freaking good. They all go over there. They all swing over there. We get the shot of the other two Spider-Man sitting up on the perch. They're there. They have the conversation with him and they start explaining. We get their stories a little bit, right? We start to get their stories. And this is where the movie just like the gold of this movie comes in, is when they're all talking to each other and they're all interacting with each other. And you can tell they all have similarities, but they've also experienced their own set of unique circumstances. Mm-hmm. But even though those circumstances are sort of unique to them, they're still actually pretty similar. And they can sort of, you know, empathize with it, even though it didn't play out the same. Like they're like, we all lost Uncle Ben. When, you know, like Toby tells Andrew and Tom Holland, you know, well, MJ and I, we figured it out. Like we make it work. Cause he's talking about how he wants to erase everyone from knowing he's Spider-Man. Then Andrew Garfield talks about how he lost Gwen. And he's like crying, and it's just so freaking amazing.
Oh my God, dude.
It's the, like, that's why I love him, man. It's the deep drama that comes with him.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why full spoiler, that whole dive and catch that he has with MJ,
right?
Is just,
cause he saves her.
I was sitting there in the theater. I was like, I see this coming. And that's okay that we saw that coming, because I was like, I saw it coming and I still said, they better do it. He better dive and save MJ. I'm like, this, I swear to God, like if he does it, I'm going to be upset, man. And he does. And it's so like, you can even see it in his face. He does a good job of acting
right
and just going like, okay, wow. It was quick, but it was also like, yeah.
Yeah. Damn. So then they start one by one taking out the villains. Then they have a few conversations before everything gets going. They don't necessarily get it working, right? You know, some of the jokes include like Toby talking, when he's up there with Andrew Garfield, and he's like, "Ah, oh, man, I gotta stretch out," right? You know, and he's like, "Yeah, my back, you know, like I jacked up my back."
Yeah.
Because in Spider-Man 1, you know, when he tries and he falls and he lands on his back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That was great. So good. Plus, you know, at one point when Norman Osborn, you know, William Dafoe is talking to Spider-Man, he says, oh, you know, I'm something of a scientist myself, right? Which is like a big meme. Like, that was hilarious. I was so glad to see that.
Yeah.
And then when they're trying, ultimately, I think some of the funniest lines come from when they're the final time before they all put on their masks and go to town, and they're all in this super awesome shot where they're all swinging at the same time. They're like swinging off of each other, so they like shoot webs and like swing around before the final thing when they have that conversation. Excuse me, where. You know, they're talking about like, oh, I fought somebody in space. Oh, that's cool. You know, and like, Tom Holland's like, I mean, not to brag, but you know, I mean, I'm an Avenger. And they're like,
right.
Toby's like, that's great. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield's like, are you in a band? Like, that's sick.
Right.
You know, like, yes. so funny. But then, okay, we got to get going. And then, you know, the final fight starts happening. They start taking out guys one by one. For me, one of the scenes I loved absolutely most is when Tobey Maguire talks to Doc Ock, you know, who he's really good friends with before the sort of neural implant in Spider-Man 2 sort of turns him down a darker side, but now he's healed and they get to have that sort of final embrace when he's like, you know, Peter, it's so good to see you.
Yeah.
What have you, you know, how are you doing? And he's like, I'm trying to do better, which is one of the first things he says to him in Spider-Man 2.
Right.
When he shows up, he's like, you're Connor's student. I heard you're good, but you're lazy. And he's like, well, I'm trying to do better. So there's that. They have the final fight with Green Goblin.
Which, by the way, great way to end. That's actually kind of a cool thing, right? That he's the last sort of thing.
Right.
And it was sort of the first introduced like villain or whatever. People are typically Green Goblin, Spider-Man. It's a big deal. And once you've done it with Toby, they kind of moved away from that. But I mean, I think in the comic, he's a big, isn't he?
Right,
like Spider-Man's
yeah.
like most. Yeah.
One of his number Yeah. Spider-Man is I would say is a little unlike. He's unlike a lot of characters who necessarily has like his number one villain. If I had to really be sort of specific, I almost feel like, in a way, I kind of feel like Doc Ock might actually end up being his number one, where it's not like Superman where it's Lex Luthor and Batman, it's to the Joker and, you know, a lot of these characters where it's like a very clear sort of main villain you're almost always dealing with. So anyway, we get the final fight. Tom Holland's down there battering him, almost about to kill him. Toby steps in, grabs it, has the conversation. You can't do this. Toby gets stabbed.
Dude, I know.
I did think for a second, I thought they were going to kill him.
But then the joke, guys, I've been stabbed before.
Right.
It's fine. That was like perfect. Perfect. Right. Yeah. But he looks good. By the way, he's working out, man. Like what he stepped up there when he
grabbed. He hasn't really acted in anything in a long time. Really actually hasn't been in very much, which is kind of unfortunate. I think he was kind of one of those people that kind of got maybe blacklisted a little bit in Hollywood. And because really, it's like outside of Spider-Man, he was in like Seabiscuit, The Great Gatsby.
Oh, yeah.
He was in that one war movie with Natalie Portman. I think it's like him. Is it Jake Gyllenhaal? Maybe Brothers, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Where he like comes back and she cheated on him with his brother and he's like destroying the kitchen.
Brokeback Mountain?
No, not Brokeback Mountain. That's the one about.
What is that? Is that not it?
No, God.
He wasn't in that movie?
No, he's not. Although he is in Tropic Thunder. He has a cameo with Robert Downey Jr.
Is it really?
Where he plays a gay character. It's kind of funny. It's like the opening scene of Tropic Thunder. Anywho. So we're kind of done with the other Spider-Man and we start to shift back to sort of MCU stuff, which is Doctor Strange comes in, they seal the thing. The Spider-Man spell kicks off. Nobody knows he's him. And he, at least nobody knows that Peter is Spider-Man, but they still know that Spider-Man exists. And I would imagine that the Avengers know that Spider-Man did fight alongside them in several cases, but they don't know the identity of Spider-Man.
Wow. That is so like, Do we have to do another Spider-Man? I mean, we need another one to get him back in, you know, like he's supposed to take over, right?
I would imagine. And the crazy thing is that he's going to remember that he fight alongside them, but there was a spell that changed it all.
Right.
And then also, it's going to be really crazy because the next movie is Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. And they're blowing the whole thing up is where they're at.
Awesome.
And
then
which is what you do. That's one of the things I love. I watched this interview with Zack Snyder where he was talking about his plans for the DC extended universe. Yeah. Now who knows what they're doing because they're clueless over there at Warner Brothers. DC fanboys. I'm a DC fanboy.
It sucks that they are that clueless.
They're clueless. They suck. I mean,
it makes no sense. There's no continuity.
There's none, and it makes no sense. But Zack Snyder says that his original plan, and you actually can see it, was you like have a box, you pull the box apart, you shove the box together.
Yeah.
Pull it back apart, shove it back together. And he's like, that's the way to do these sort of bigger team ups. And that's kind of where we're at now, right? Was you slowly start introducing these characters, Iron Man, Thor, whatever. Okay. Put them all together. Cool. Spread them all back out again. They have to come back together. Avengers 2. Cool. Pull it apart. Same thing. Civil War. Really pull it apart. Now they're all at ends. They don't like each other. You introduce Thanos. And Thanos comes in after the Civil War. After they're all split. You have sides. They don't want to work together. That's why Thanos wins. Finger snaps. Okay, now we got to like cheat. Go back in time. Jack the whole thing up.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. Right. So
and where we're at now is where we're at now is a lot of people, there's a lot of theories and everything that. So you have in Wanda, when she goes Scarlet Witch, that jacks up like, well, first of all, the time jump that they do in Avengers has to mess a bunch of stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, because they go back in time and then, you know, whatever, that clearly has to mess things up. It does for Loki, because then it's like, you know, the Gamora we have right now is a Gamora from a different time period.
Because
Gamora dies. They go back in time, bring her forward, just like Thanos.
That's true.
Because they killed Thanos. Right. They killed Thanos after the events of Infinity War. Then they go back in time, and then Thanos we see is from 20. He's from before, so he comes forward. So Endgame jacks the whole thing up. Then we see in WandaVision, she goes Scarlet Witch. I think that jacks stuff up too, because they're talking about she's more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme, all this stuff, which is Doctor Strange in the trailer for his new movie has to go find her. Hey, I need your help. Yeah. Then in Loki, we see that it's already starting to get shredded and fall to pieces. The timeline, and there's all these variants going out there, and then Spider-Man really jacks it up.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so first of all, let's just ask a pretty obvious question here. Yeah, what?
One final thing, yeah. I guess I should mention, is the mid-credit scene, Venom, Tom Hardy from the Venom movies,
yeah,
which seems like it might be the same universe as Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man and the new upcoming Morbius movie. A piece of his symbiote is left behind before he gets sucked back.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone was, I had students saying like the end credits or whatever for that last movie was really important. And I don't think I actually got a chance to watch it. So,
yeah. So the mid credits. So there's two, this one, there's really only one. There's the mid credits scene, which is Tom Hardy, who plays Venom in the Venom movies, which we believe, I think, is potentially the same as the Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man universes. If not, it's its own thing. That's fine. He's sitting at a bar, because remember, all the people get pulled through that are like Spider-Man villains and know Peter Parker's Spider-Man. So for starters, he would have to know that a Peter Parker is Spider-Man, I guess. And he's having this conversation with this guy in the bar, and he's like explaining this universe that they're in.
Yeah.
And he's like, so wait, you guys all didn't exist for 5 years and all this stuff.
Yeah.
The Venom movies to me kind of suck. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think they're very good. I do like Tom Hardy. I think he's great. I actually like him as Venom.
I just don't like Venom. Yeah,
I love Venom. I think Venom's awesome.
See, because I've heard people really like him. I'm not really into Venom. So for me, it's like it's right. Not that they're bad. I just don't really like that character. So yeah, right. But yeah. I don't know.
So anywho, so a piece of his symbiote is left behind.
Okay.
In the MCU. So a lot of people think somehow that's going to go trigger a new Spider-Man movie, and that's where we're going to go. Because Spider-Man's going to college, so maybe he'll get sent to wherever the symbiote is, and then we go from there.
Yeah. So there's just a partnership between Disney and Sony then to keep kind of rolling with this.
Well, I would say that there's a partnership between Sony and Disney is the clear way that Sony is making it out to be. Because at the end of the day.
Because I want Sony's, more of these.
I do, too. I do, too. Yeah. At the end of the day, Disney. So, the licensing is weird. So Disney owns. So Disney owns all of Marvel, which includes the rights to pretty much everything outside of like TV rights for Spider-Man and his characters that go along with him at this point, since Fox owned Daredevil and Fantastic Four and all that stuff. Now, one of the things that Disney did was when they were trying, because they recently bought 20th Century Fox, which is like Fox's catalog of the X-Files and the Simpsons and all of those things, you know, the old Star Wars movies said 20th Century Fox on them, right?
Yeah.
So Disney wanted to buy that. They wanted to try to buy that off Fox. And so they played dirty in around the 2012 era, and they just flat out sort of stopped publishing Fantastic Four comics because they knew that they could devalue the brand. So like it is in a way a partnership, because Disney could say we're not gonna
right there.
We're just gonna stop producing Spider-Man comics and all this other stuff, which would be stupid because they make money, but they theoretically could in a way to sort of do it. So Disney does have some of the power, but yeah. I would say really in this day and age, Sony's got the power over Spider-Man, and I don't see Sony ever selling Spider-Man.
Well, no, that'd be silly. It makes so much money. I mean, but also good on Tom Holland for like bringing this together. There's no reason right. they can't work together and make something, because like people make it equally beneficial. Like there's just no reason right. not to do this. So that's good. Also, can I bring up an obvious kind of like question here? What was Doctor Strange doing?
He's stuck, man.
What was he thinking? Like,
he's stuck. That's
the only flaw to this movie, because it makes it, without it, like, you can't have this type of thing happen, which is why you do it. But, and it's like a heart towards Peter and everything. But like, Jesus criminy, Doctor Strange.
Right.
You don't cast this kind of spell. Sorry. He must be new at his job. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of the only weak point. But at the same time, it's necessary. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you don't have a movie. So. But it was just kind of interesting to see, because there was a bunch of theories that he was not going to be Doctor Strange, that it was going to be yes. someone else. Right.
So, yeah. So it actually follows a Star Wars comic, and I'm blank. I think it's called like a new God. I actually read it not too long ago. But in that arc, in the comic arc, Doctor Strange is actually, I believe, Mephisto, who is a major sort of he's like a demon.
Yeah. Kind
of God. And actually, in the trailer for the Doctor Strange movie that's coming out, there are two Doctor Stranges, and one is a little more grungy and stuff like that. So, a lot of people think that is actually going to be Mephisto. They're going to do that. I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. It's cool, because, yeah, there was stuff like going on with WandaVision, too, where they were like, who's behind all of this? Loki, same thing, too, like a trickster character and stuff. So, and you know, Doctor Strange is just interesting to see, you know. Like
One More Day is what it's called. Yeah, one more day is the comic, in which it's a little different. Tony Stark convinces Peter to reveal his identity to the world. Of course, this causes a big problem for him. Aunt May acts like gets shot and is very close to death. Her life, however, is saved when Peter makes a deal with Mephisto by trading his marriage to MJ for his aunt's life.
Wow.
It's a little different. Yeah. Which is cool. But you can see always where they pull so much inspiration from this. And hey, this is where all those people, you know, that complain, you know, when we cover other stuff about, oh, it's not like the books. Well, the comic book movies are, pull this from this and this from this. I mean, it's like you open a fridge and it's like, all right, I'm going to find some meat, going to find some cheese, going to do this. Well, you were supposed to make, you know, lasagna. Well, I made pizza, so
yeah. So
pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. It's just not in layers. Deal with it.
Right. So okay. All right. So anyway, I love the movie. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, 10 out of 10 for me, dude. I was watching all the reviews come in and watching it just blow past some of those box office markers, and I was like, what the heck is going on? So when I went and saw it, I just was like. The fact that I was quoting some of the stuff that was coming from other Spider-Man movies, so I was like, this is fantastic. And it had me laughing. It had me tearing up. It had me talking with my girlfriend afterwards about it. It's freaking radical. And so it's a 10 out of 10 for me. It's one of the better movies I've seen in a long, long time. I was very, very impressed. And I was worried going in, because I was like, they're just hyping this up because it's something. But it was that good. And Tom Holland, by the way, I'll say this. His acting after the loss of Aunt May, the shift.
Oh, he's amazing.
He did a great job.
He's great. So where would you rank this as? I ask you three questions. Well, we'll save the Spider-Man one at the end. Where would you rank this? In terms of a few things, in terms of just Spider-Man movies. So that would include the three Spider-Man Tom Holland movies, the two Andrew Garfield, and the three Toby movies, so exclude like Civil War and Infinity stuff. Where would you rank this in terms of your just overall superhero movies?
Oh wow, okay. So first the Spider-Man movie, because I'm thinking about, like, for me, like my two top Spider-Man movies are literally, it's Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 2002 and then Spider-Man 2. Right. So those are my favorites. So I'm starting to stack it up against those two. And for me, I would either say it's the best one, like flat out the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen, or maybe it falls. And I go back and forth on whether you want to say Spider-Man 2002 or Spider-Man 2 is better. It's either above those two or it's behind one or two of those. So I'm not a huge, I know that the Amazing Spider-Man stuff, people really like the second one, especially, which was really good. And I did like it. It's to me, like the worst one to me is Tobey Maguire's third Spider-Man. It's terrible. Yeah. It's just not good.
Actually, you know, I don't know, like, man. It. I think I go back and forth on that one and Amazing Spider-Man one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I like there's stuff I like in both.
Yeah.
But I think there's stuff I like less in Amazing Spider-Man.
See,
1.
And again, it's really hard for me to say that Spider-Man, it's just tough. But with Tobey Maguire, the first one, I have so many right. good vibes and feelings. It's really hard because I shouldn't even be able to say that like Spider-Man 2 right. was better because that sequel was good.
Right.
Really good. Surprisingly, like that doesn't happen yeah. often, right?
I also feel like the problem with the other Tom Holland movies is that like you can't just view those as Spider-Man movies. You have to sort of stack it against other MCU movies. Yeah. Because there's like proximity and everything, and so you're like thinking about them as like, well, it's really like
yeah, Tony Stark involved.
And exactly. Iron Man's in it. So it's yeah. like, okay, well, that's cool. And then, you know, like the second one is good, but it's just like, it takes place. It's like the movie that takes place after Endgame. And it's like, the stakes just feel so low.
Yeah, I know. And that villain's terrible. I hate that villain. I love the Zendaya stuff. I love right. the MJ stuff. It's great, but.
Yeah. So, okay. So you think you have it as your favorite Spider-Man movie?
I would actually probably say it's my favorite.
Because I do.
Or behind. Yeah. Do you too? Do you really?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
It's your favorite.
It's because, and it's my favorite because, for starters, I think it's the best of the Tom Holland three. So that immediately shoots it up. And then I love that Andrew Garfield gets redemption. Andrew Garfield gets redemption. I think
he should.
Great. And then I love that Toby comes in and does his thing. And I also like Doctor Strange. So that's, but then I think for me, it's like, in a way it's a little fan servicey just a little bit, but I don't care because I like it.
Right.
So for me, I think it's my number one. I can tell you this. It's probably the Spider-Man movie that I will go back and watch the most.
Yep. Yep. So okay, actually when you take that mindset, like which one would you go back and watch the most? I would watch this one probably the most, and then for me the second one for me would be the original Spider-Man. I love the original, just Tobey, Uncle Ben dying, the whole
and
thing.
And then him for me is Spider-Man. and then I like Amazing Spider-Man too.
Right.
So that one's there for me. So that's
cool. And then we get a lot of things covered there. I mean that's yeah. I think that's really
so
good.
Where would you rank it? So where would you rank it in your sort of total superhero movies ever? Is it a top 10 superhero movie Ooh, ever?
Yes.
For you?
Yes. It's
really
that's top 10, bro. Because the crazy thing is though, and I feel like it's almost cheating a little bit because it's one of those things. Like I like once the Flash brings in other Batman, you know, right. like that's going to change. It's a game changer, man. Like you can't, I mean, now you're bringing in a Batman from the 90s. Like that's like, okay, now right. this is all, I mean, we don't know yet. Right.
Right.
But if this is any indication as to how awesome this can be, because Flashpoint was cool on the CW channel when they brought in, you and I were talking back in the day.
Oh, it was awesome.
Tom Welling,
Brandon Ruth.
Oh my gosh, bro. So good. So like,
but that was just TV. Yeah.
That was just TV. But like, as far as superhero movies, see, cause to me, this movie has a lot of cool things. It's got like redemption for the villains, which is crazy.
Cool.
It's crazy. Like something very interesting. I was like, there's no way they can do this. But then the other Spider-Man kind of confirmed, this is what we do. And actually, it's like at the core of what they do, which is something crazy like this. And so Tom Holland's Spider-Man is doing that very thing, and he has to fight Doctor Strange to do it. And then he loses Aunt May. So he goes through the same great things. Like you mentioned Gwen in Amazing Spider-Man, and I mentioned Uncle Ben. He has that moment, and it's compounded because Toby is there and Andrew is there. And it's just like, what? It's almost too much. It's almost too much. Now, I still go back to the DC. I go back to the Dark Knight. And I go back to the, you can't, I mean, it's untouchable.
Zack like, Snyder's some, Justice League.
Yeah, there's some untouchable things. But is it up there? It's probably my top five, actually, now. So I'd have to go through and make a list. But like,
yeah, it's probably just because it's probably my number. It's probably going to be my number one Spider-Man movie. It's going to crack into my top 10.
Yeah,
it's also difficult too, because I think sometimes I try to separate them in terms of like a solo movie or what I kind of consider as a solo movie, which is I don't know. You know, it's like, I guess it's different if it's like Justice League or Avengers, as opposed to like Thor Ragnarok is really, it's just a Thor movie, although the Hulk's in it. This is kind of like, it's really a Spider-Man movie. It has two other Spider-Man and it has Doctor Strange in it, but it's really just like a Spider-Man movie. Because I think like, you know, it's just hard to stack literally anything against Endgame, because Endgame is just like so utterly
it's
amazing. I mean, it's just so epic. It's just epic. It's just so hard to stack anything against it. I think the first Avengers too, it's just because like you look at what they did, like that had never been done before. But I think here they did something that has never been done before by bringing back, you know, because sometimes they bring somebody in as a cameo, like in Wonder Woman 1984, you see Linda Carter, but it's just a cameo and it's just a thing. But it's not like this. So yeah, it's probably towards the bottom of my top 10. I don't think to me, it's like Zack Snyder's Justice League's number one. Dark Knight's gotta be number two. Better than Wonder Woman, better than Logan, better than Endgame. I don't know that I can put it above that. I can put it above those.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I think
Man of Steel. Is it better? Is it higher than you know, Man of Steel?
Higher than the original
Superman.
Honestly, this is crazy, man. But like, I'm a Superman guy, and like, talk about what I would want to go back and watch again. Like, those are classics, and it's hard. Like, the longer this goes on, the more of these movies you have, it's sort of like, dang. Like the difference between your top 10, it's so minimal. It's such a minimal difference that it's like, dang, it's really actually kind of hard. Because this one is just, you can do so much more.
Right. When the first Spider-Man movie came out, there was only like 12 superhero movies ever. Now there's hundreds.
Yeah. Right. That's sort of the issue I'm alluding to, which is like, yeah, man, it's like, as we go along, it's like, dang, there's so many good ones. That they start to stack in there tight, real tight.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. I think anybody who said this in their top five, I wouldn't think they're crazy.
Oh, no, I'd get it.
I would understand. And like, cause Logan, I forgot about it. You know,
Days of Future Past.
Dude, great movie.
Then you start scrolling down the other MCU movies. I mean,
yeah, there's really good ones. Yes.
I mean, Iron Man 1. Is really First good. Thor 1 is really good. Thor Ragnarok is ton of Guardians of the Galaxy. I think Ant-Man's a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I love all of them. Don't get me wrong. At the end of the day,
they're good.
I love the you know, Ben Affleck Daredevil movies. Why not? And Elektra. Right. I mean, right, who you know, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you've got, hold on a second. So you've got Batman Begins, right? Batman Begins.
Top 10.
No, I'm just real quick and recap. There's in that trilogy, it's Batman Begins, then The Dark Knight, right?
Then The Dark Knight, then The Dark Knight Rises.
People forget about Batman Begins.
Batman Begins is really good.
It's really good. And like, the only reason it's not mentioned as much is because The Dark Knight. Like,
yeah. I mean,
The Dark Knight
is just too good. It's
so good. It's
The Dark Knight is, to me, it's
the, my dad says, the one of the best movies he's ever seen in his life. He was
like The Dark Knight is the best standalone superhero movie. Because I think it's if somebody could say to me that Endgame is the best superhero movie ever, and it's just hard to argue against it because it's like 25 movies to build this whole thing up. You have Thanos, you have Iron Man's death. Like the portal scene where they open it up and literally all of the Marvel like walks through. I mean, it's freaking amazing. So I think there's like a difference between team up movies, but I can't 100% say that Zack Snyder's Justice League has replaced The Dark Knight as my number one. And I mean,
yeah, it's good. Yeah, dude, that's a, and that's crazy.
It's
that's that saying
movie's,
something.
That movie's ridiculous, like, dude. It's too good. Like,
because the original one, or like the original air quote, right? Like,
so bad.
How can it be that different? Night and day different.
It's just so different.
That's the vision.
I will say this, and to see the full Zack Snyder vision, you don't necessarily have to watch Wonder Woman, but I think it's great to do it. Is just watch Wonder Woman, man. When you see Man of Steel, Batman vs Superman, and the extended cut, obviously, and then Zack Snyder's Justice League together, you watch them all as like one thing, rather than like maybe we had to wait and then we got the weird one. And you know, if you just sit down and be like, okay, boom, 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 you totally get his vision, and it's worth it. And it's just like it's a masterpiece. It's like a Mona Lisa level. It's unreal. Just like when I watched Endgame, and I was like, you get to see all the strings come through. So yeah, so this for me, it's in my top 10 because it's my number one Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
but it's probably around like
under eight, 7 or 8.
Definitely not top five. Top five for me, but not that it's bad. I mean, to be in my top five when there's like 50 superhero movies is still a good thing.
And that's what I'm saying, man. I honest to God, I just want to give total credit to this movie because it has me going like, what did the original Superman movie have to offer compared to this movie? Like, it's crazy. Right. I mean, I love Christopher Reeve, but like, I'm like, dude, I might have to move that movie down, man. Like, it's crazy.
Things happen.
Things happen. Something like,
something new could come out and change it. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
And then, then there's other things like, do you count it as a superhero? I mean,
yeah,
it's hard, you know, just because they're not Marvel or DC, if they're still comic book characters, they're still superheroes. So
yeah. Also, Matt,
better? Is Ninja Turtles in your top 10?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. They are comic book characters.
Oh boy. Wow.
They are comic book characters.
To go back. Master Splinter.
Because that's top 10. Ninja Turtles is top 10 for me.
Yeah. So okay. I mean, here's something that's really interesting. Like the power of bringing someone back. Like the reason I love Smallville so much, just a final kind of note here on like, because I'm a huge Superman guy. Like when Christopher Reeve shows up in Smallville, I'm like, this is the best TV show I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Life. Like they also didn't bring just him in. They brought in Dean Cain, the other Superman as well. Like at that point, they had brought in all the Supermans that they could. They didn't make them Superman because we weren't there yet. Now we're saying, oh, we're not just going to bring Tobey Maguire back in as some random guy in Tom Holland's universe.
Right.
No, we're saying he's Spider-Man because he was Spider-Man before. That is another level. And I appreciate that. And so that's where it's like God had like Superman Return with Brandon Routh done something like that. Not that it could really bring Christopher Reeve back.
That's an underrated movie.
It was. But like, yeah, had it done something with Dean Cain, or a multiverse. Again, you're talking about multiverse, which is very different. It's like a special level. You almost see like a special tier to throw these things in because I think we're going to have more of this stuff happening. Flashpoint, by the way, shout out to the CW who did this for, I think they Arrowverse went nuts with this.
Ezra Miller. Yeah. You see Ezra Miller. And I always forget the guy's name that plays the Arrow or the Flash, the TV Flash Grant. I don't know, whatever it is.
Oh yeah. He's in, He's in Glee and stuff. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. But yeah, shout out to them. They did this kind of thing. It was successful. And I think that's the thing. When you see other things doing things that are like really successful on that scale and you say, let's upscale that. And did right. people respond? Hell yeah, they did. They went to the right. theater and said, this is awesome. So right. like, I don't know, man.
It's yeah. great. Well, we don't have another superhero movie. I mean, we will be back with more stuff, definitely. But I believe yeah. the next superhero movie coming as comes in March.
When's that Black Adam movie coming out, by the way?
That's later in the year. No, the movie coming in March, which I think could replace The Dark Knight as not is The Batman. That's, I think, our next.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Have you seen the new trailer? There's a new trailer that just
released. I have not. I'll watch it right after this. I soon as you said The Batman, I said TikTok, the clock, the Riddler, bro. Like, I just am thinking, like,
we'll do a reaction. We'll do a reaction of it. And okay. We'll post it too. So awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming back, listening to us once again. Ez and I are coming at back with all kinds of stuff. So shoot us. We have an email, Ez. I don't know what it is. It's like I always forget.
Matt and Ez show at gmail.com. I'm pretty sure
it might not be.
It's
that.
In the description.
It might be Matt and Ez.
It's in the description. Okay.
Well, you can hit me up at Super Games Bros. You can hit him up at WompRat_2M. Guys, as always, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.